everybody. Thank you, Brother Kerve. I want to thank you for those songs, beautiful songs. Everybody be happy over there. I also want to thank the men who have served so far in the Lord's service. I'd like to say good evening to everyone. My name is Brother Barry, and I'm grateful to be on the line with you this evening to worship our God in spirit and truth. I'm always grateful to God for the opportunity he gives me to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that I'll be able to say something this evening that someone on the line will receive the hope and comfort of the scriptures. Appreciate the opportunity of Brother Strauss, of Brother Brooks, that's given me to speak the message of truth. This evening I want to speak from the subject of the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the cross. Preaching of the cross. Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 10 and 11. Scripture says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The preaching of the cross. Preaching of the cross was purposed in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Salvation of man was carefully planned and executed in Christ. And as with any plan, there was one main goal, the salvation of the soul of man. And this goal was accomplished in the sacrifice of the Son of God on the cross. Before the foundation of the world, our Father in heaven, he knew. He knew that his Son would come to this earth and be brutally beaten and shamefully disrespected by godless men and suffer a cruel death on a cross and rise again for the sins of the whole world. We find written in John 1 and 21, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus told Nicodemus, you know, Nicodemus was a Pharisee who came by night in John chapter 3 and verse 14. Jesus told Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus was referring to his cross. Yes, Jesus was to heal the world. Well, how? By shedding his blood and dying on that cross, and on the third day rise again. Now, Jesus always knew his faith, always knew it. And so he would begin showing his followers, showing his apostles, what was about to happen to him for the salvation of the world. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We're looking at verses 21, 22, and 23. Scripture says in verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now we know that they were plotting to kill Jesus. And Jesus knew they were plotting to kill him. And so Jesus began to prepare his apostles with the idea of the cross. We see now that the cross would represent salvation through his suffering, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And you know, many people today do not see the significance of the cross of Jesus. But now, by the time his apostles understood the significance of the cross, Jesus was already in the shadow of it. In verse number 22 of Matthew 16, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." You see, Peter did not understand at this time. He did not understand that one day, he would be preaching the cross, that he would be preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of his Lord. We see in verse number 23, but he turned. Who turned? Jesus turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So you see, Jesus suffering and dying on the cross was according to his Father's eternal purpose that he purposed in his Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Mark records in Mark chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Yes, Jesus said to them, he told them that he would rise again. Not only is Jesus telling his apostles that he would die, he is also telling them that he would rise again. But before all this could happen, Jesus would suffer many things according to the scriptures and just be treated with disrespect, like he was a nobody, like he was nothing. We find recorded in scriptures, Mark chapter 9, verse 11 and 13. Scripture says, and they asked him, saying, "Why say the scribes that Elijah must come first?" And he answered and told them, "Elijah verily cometh first and restoreth all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught." In other words, Jesus would be disrespected, disregarded, like he is nothing. The scripture teaches us in Luke 24 and 7, scripture says, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So Jesus' apostles, they declared that the cross is at the center of their preaching. Yes, the cross, the preaching of the cross. Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. So now let me ask the question, in what way is the preaching of the cross important this evening? Well, the preaching of the cross is important because it is the center of God's love. It is the center of love. It was love that moved God in the divine direction for our salvation. And the preaching of the cross is an act of love. It's an action. Although most of the Israelites, under the guidance of Moses, they died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. They did not believe God. They did not believe that what God spoke was true. But God still loved them, because God wanted all of his people to make it to the promised land and live a good life and be protected and healed through the hands of Moses. Just like Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. John chapter 3, verse 14. Then he goes on to say that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever or whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And although man had gone into the depths of sin, could not save himself, God so loved the world. Romans 5, 8 through 10, but God commended his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, Paul said, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Yes, by his love, by his life, we are saved this evening. Peter writes this, 1 Peter 3, 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Yes, spiritual life is possible for us even this evening. Why? Because of his death. John weighs in on it. 1 John 4, 9 through 10. John said, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Therein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, this evening, the preaching of the cross is the center of love. See, when men and women teach and preach the cross, it is out of love for the soul of man. And not only that, it also is the center of redemption. It was God's eternal purpose, according to the scriptures, that Christ redeem us from sin from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. The Lord God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel. See, Jesus will only be bruised on the heel. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him. He hath made who, Paul? He hath made Jesus, that righteous seed, that seed that was bruised on the heel. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yes, redemption. Redemption this evening. We have redemption. We have been redeemed. We have been redeemed through the preaching of the cross. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And the verse is number 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. See, Jesus bought us with his own blood this evening. And the preaching of the cross reminds us of the suffering. It reminds us of the shedding of his precious blood for the forgiveness of sin. Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter 1, 18 through 21, Peter says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You see, the blood of Christ is meant to take away sin. The blood has cleansing power. That's why John says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood, yes, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Yes, redemption. Redemption must be at the center of the preaching of the cross. And not only that, the preaching of the cross is the center of our preaching even today. The apostles preached concerning the cross. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:17-18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Paul goes on to say, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. See, God wants preachers and teachers of the gospel to continue feeding those who are searching for the power of God. We find in 1 Corinthians 2:1-4, Paul says, again, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yeah, Paul says, I do not know any other power to preach about except about the life of Jesus and him crucified and how he died for his church, for his bride. That's all I know. Verse number 3, and Paul says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of powers. In other words, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. See, Paul was not using enticing words of man's wisdom. See, God wants our heart and mind to be entertained by the very utterance of his word. We must preach God's word to stimulate our heart and mind to act in faith. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. 21 and 24, but even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth, who when he was revived, revived not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who is own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whom stripes ye were healed. We were healed by his stripes. Yes, Jesus suffered and died. And as our great high priest, he offered himself up once and for all. See, the Hebrew writer tries to convince those backsliding Jews in the book of Hebrews that Jesus was the greatest high priest. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 27, who needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered himself up himself. Jesus offered up himself as a sacrifice once and for all. Hebrew writer says again, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, Hebrew writer says, Hebrews 12, 2 through 3. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own mind. Consider Jesus. See, it is the glory of his accomplishments on the cross that we should be stressing this evening. Paul wrote to the Galatians 6 and 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. That's what Paul said. That's what Paul said about the cross. See, just as the apostles, we should be determined not to know anything except Christ and him crucified. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2 and 2. Jesus was crucified on the cross. See, the cross is the center of obedience. It was the center of Christ's obedience to his Father. See, Jesus obeyed. Yeah, he obeyed. He obeyed his father. It was hard. He agonized. But he stayed focused. Matthew 26:36-42. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said it unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch for me. And he went a little farther, the scripture says, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was agonizing. He was agonizing. But Jesus says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Again, the Hebrew writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Man, Hebrews 12:2. See, the Hebrew writer uses this idea of Jesus enduring the cross and despising the shame to show the importance of our own salvation. See, though he was a son, the Hebrew writer said, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We must obey Jesus. Hebrews 5:8-9. Yes, the cross. It's the center of our obedience. Preaching the cross. We must obey. Romans 6:3-6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. And then Paul goes on to say, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. See, we must obey. Amen. We must obey. We must obey that form of doctrine, that pattern, that teaching. Romans 6:17-18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness, righteous living. The righteousness of God. See, Paul reminds the Christians at the church in Rome that they have been made free from sin and became servants of righteousness. See, we as Christians do not live for ourselves. We live for Jesus. Paul says in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ, Paul says. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no wonder that our Father in heaven will take vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 8. See, the preaching of the cross is also centered on obedience. The cross is the center of our challenge to be devoted to Jesus. See, as Christians this evening, we must bear a cross for our Lord Jesus. We must do that. Luke 9 and 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what Jesus wants us to do. But he says again in Matthew 10 and 38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Jesus is serious about this. We must take up our cross daily. And some of the crosses we are called to bear are because of what he did for us on the cross. Amen. We must give ourselves to the Lord. Paul said to the Corinthians in Corinthians 6 and 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Paul again, second letter to the Corinthians, Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. But the love of Christ constraineth us. It controls us. Why? Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See, we must live a righteous life for Jesus this evening. He died for us and rose again. Paul says to the Romans, Romans 6, 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So Paul tells them in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you. He said, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must challenge our life to live for God, to live for Jesus every minute. As I close this lesson, this evening, the preaching of the cross, his suffering, his death. When the price seems too high, think of what Jesus paid for our redemption. Yeah? You see, someday, and then, you know, there's a song called Someday. Someday, one of these days, someday, we shall trade our cross for a crown. Someday, it's going to happen. Paul said, I fought a good fight. 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. Paul said, I finished. I finished my course. I mean, it's tough out here trying to live for the Lord. Paul said, I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Paul said, I fought a good fight. We have to get in the fight. We have to get in there. And don't quit. Keep the faith. Paul says, the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Revelation 2:10. Jesus says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Some of who? Some of us. That ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. 10 days? Well, that's symbolic of a short time. It won't be long. In other words, tribulation won't last long. And so Jesus says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. See, we're going to get a crown. We're going to trade our cross for a crown. And so we must understand this evening that Jesus paid it all. He suffered a cruel, agonizing death on the cross. They scourged him, beat him, whipped him, spit on him, slapped him. But at the end of all of that, while he was hanging on the cross, he said to his Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Therefore, we must learn how to deny ourselves. We must learn how to carry our cross as we follow Jesus. Listen, there is no better life than the life of a child of God. Life that is dedicated to following Jesus. And we know that life offers peace and comfort and hope. And yes, salvation. So let us continue to preach the cross. Support the preaching of the cross. Jesus is calling this evening. Let us put our hand in his hand. We must obey his call this evening. We must respond to his call. So if you're on the line, we hope and pray that you recognize how much Jesus has done for you and I. We pray that if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, that you will obey his gospel message this evening. Jesus invites you to come to him. You heard his word. You've heard the gospel. Jesus wants you to believe it and repent. And he wants you to confess before men that he is the Son of the living God and be baptized into his name. unto his death. And he will add you. He will add your name to his church. Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 22:16. Paul said to Jesus, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. All what things? You must go and hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Acts 9:6, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. See, we must all do something this evening for our salvation. So if you're not a Christian and you're on this line, you're on this line this evening, in order to receive your salvation from God, there's something you must do. Well, what is that? You must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And I said to Paul, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Paul told the church at Rome, Romans 6:3-4, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. We walk in newness of life this evening when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we'll be singing a song of encouragement in just a minute. If you're a member of the Lord's church and you have a need to make a confession, make your calling and election sure. We can see what's going on in the world. We have tasted the heavenly. And so we know that we must live right even unto death. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, and you are subject to God's invitation, Jesus wants to add your name to his church. Let your intentions be known after we sing a song of invitation. That's my lesson. May God bless you as we sing Song of Encouragement.